Maggie. Maggie's not feeling welcome, but that's fine. We'll pray for her afterwards. She put up her hand. Guys, I'm preaching with this mic today, so I hope I'm not getting entangled you or anything. The Paul and the youth had such a wonderful Sunday last day that they broke or blew up or our previous, the cordless mic, but that's okay. We're gonna get a new one, but I'm glad that you guys had fun. So those of you who saw fire last week at the youth, maybe that was a good thing, but I'm not sure where it came from. I think that the lamp got a bit hot, and then the receiver also got a bit hot, and then it went, but that's a good thing. Now I can preach with this one. Okay, guys, I just want to again to ask you out of my deepest heart to try and be at 9:30 at church. Church starts at 9:30, so please make an effort to be here. It's still winter time. Soon when we change over to summertime, church is still going to be 9:30, but then you're going to have to wake up a little bit earlier because it's a bit earlier. So please make an effort to be on time for that. And then, yeah, I'm really excited to stand here this morning. Like always, I've got something on my heart that I want to share with you guys. I'm going to continue where we left last week. About what did we speak? On what did I preach last week? Calling us men, yes. Okay, so today we're going to look at a lady's side. But before we start, let's quickly pray. Father God, we want to thank you that we can be here on the Sunday morning, Father God, that we can come to your house, Father, and that we can bring our worship to you, Lord God, that we can bring our offering to you, that we can bring our hearts to you, Father God. And Holy Spirit, I invite you into church this morning, Lord. We don't want to do anything mechanically this morning, Lord God. We are open for what you want to say to us, Holy Spirit. And I pray that as I'm going to preach this morning, that you will do the preaching on my behalf, that it won't be my words, but it will be your words, Father God. And thank you, Lord God. I trust that every word will fall on good soil, Father God, and Father, that you are discipling us every day, Lord God, and that we will grow and that our hearts will be open to receive this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, guys, so as I said last week, we looked a bit at the husbands, and today we're going to look a bit at the ladies. But I prayed now, but before we go on, I want you guys, those of you who are comfortable, those men sitting next to each other, that you will quickly pray with one other man or some other guy. And the ladies, that you will just quickly pray with someone, with a lady. You can pray for anything. Ask that person quickly what you can pray for. If you're comfortable, just pray for that person. If there's husbands and wives sitting next to each other, you can pray for each other. But before we go on, because being male or female, husband or wife, maybe boyfriend or girlfriend this morning, God made us unique. And I just want you quickly, just in a minute, to pray for each other. Okay, so I'm going to now, and then you can pray for each other. Just quickly. Amen. I can see there's a few of you that really likes to pray. That's a wonderful thing. It makes a pastor's heart beat a bit faster. But I want to encourage you, Martha, and those of you who are still almost praying, come to intercession on a Tuesday morning, and there you can pray a lot more. You can pray for the church, for Sundays, for many people. So, but it's good. This is must be a house of prayer, so we're going to pray a lot. Just a bit of feedback. Thank you for those of you who've also been praying for my family. I can report back that 66% of my household or my kids are now well again. It's only the little baby that's 50% okay. The boys are, they're fine. They are running around and almost want to say irritating Maritza again. It's only only our little daughter that's still sick, but I'm trusting that she will be well soon. Guys, we need to pray a lot for each other as husbands and wives, as men and women. We need to pray a lot. It's really something I believe that as I, prepared this week, often last week, I just in my own life, I felt again, I'm not praying enough for relationships, for marriages. It's really important that we do a lot of praying. And those of you who are maybe young or you're single or you're still waiting for that right person, you should also pray a lot. You can pray for your family, your brothers or sisters that are married. And remember, in church, we also have a lot of brothers and sisters. So when you pray, bring those marriages, bring them before God and ask Him to provide and protect and to bless. Okay, so this morning, as I said, whether you're young or old, please listen. Maybe you think the authority submission, male, female, Christ and His church, think maybe you've heard it a lot of times, maybe you exactly know what it's about, but I want to ask you to please listen. It can only be for your benefit and you can only understand it just a little bit better. Okay, so I want to read to us this morning from 1 Peter 3 verse 1 to 6. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of clothing, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are yet children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Okay. So last week we talked about the husband who's the leader of the house. He provides spiritually and in the natural, he protects and he provides in the spiritual and in the natural. And today we're going to look at the ladies. So ladies, open your hearts. Men, open your hearts. And I trust that the Holy Spirit will minister to you this morning. Now, just an important, almost a footnote I want to make by starting off. It says there in verse 1, be subject to your own husbands. Ladies, how many of you have got more than one husband? Thankfully, no one. Okay, cool. Okay, it's important that we should know, Scripture is talking about women or ladies, wives, submitting to their own husbands. So this is the context in which it is. It doesn't mean to every man, Okay, so it's important to understand that. It's not to all men out there. This is not women against men. This is something in marriage. It's the way that women submit to their own husbands. And then the second thing that I just want us to look at is the context of the whole book of Peter, because it isn't just speaking. Sometimes we've got this thing in our hearts or in society that women should submit. But this is not what Scripture is talking about. In this whole passage or part in this letter, in what Peter is writing here, he's talking about various places that Christians should submit to. So I just want to show you a bit of that. In 1 Peter 2 verse 13 to 17, Peter is talking, he says, all to be subject for the Lord's sake, every human to every human institution, and there's other places in Bible where you can see that as well. So guys, you have to obey the policemen, the governors, the presidents. There's places of delegated authority. We have talked about those things in the past. Maybe we will again, and sadly, or maybe rightfully, we have to obey the speed limits. We have to, that thing that says your tax that you have to pay, we do have to do those things. We can't just it's not just women that should submit. Us men especially, we should lead by example, and we should also keep the speed limits. We should obey that. Then if you go on in 2 Peter 18 verse 25, Peter is talking to the household servants to submit to their masters as well. So it's not just women, it's the household servants as well. Then here in 1 Peter 3 verse 1 to 6, he's writing to the married women to submit to their husbands. If we go on into verse 7, he instructs husbands to live considerately with their wives as fellow heirs of the grace of life. And then he finishes off in 3 Peter 8 verse 12. And Peter tells the whole church to have unity and sympathy, to love and tenderheartedness and humility towards one another, and not to return evil for evil. In other words, to submit to each other in love. Okay, so that's the context this is written in. So that's important to understand. So it's not somewhere, someplace in the Bible that has stand, woman, you submit to men. That's not, I want you to understand that clearly, because a lot of people sometimes quote this out of context, or we like to, you know, do it sometimes. A lot of times me and my wife will, we will joke a bit around in our own house with this, and I'll ask her to bring me this or that, and then she said, okay, maybe, and then I said, okay, submit, you know, and then we'll make a joke about it, but we've got it figured out. We know in our marriage, in our relationship, what does it mean, you know, and we get our revelation from Scripture. So, okay, now let's see. So, submission is a wider Christian virtue, and it's not just applicable to the ladies. Last week I spoke a lot about the men, and the husbands and the wives and Christ and his church. So you can see it's a something, it's a little part of something much bigger. Now, I want us to start with verse 5, and I want us first to look at a few things that we can get only from the 6 scriptures. I mean, there's so many examples of the Ruths and the Sarahs in the Bible that we can learn so much, but I'm not going to keep you here till after lunchtime, so I'm just going to focus on a few of those, and let's just look of the portrait, of the painting that Peter is painting here about this woman he's talking about, that they must submit, but he's also sketching us a picture, and he's giving us a few clues about them. So let's see. In verse 5, I want to read to you, "For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves." Now I want to use that word hoped. In other translations they speak of trust. They trust in God. You can see they're speaking of Sarah. He's speaking of, they're trusting in God. They are rooted in God. The godly woman, that woman that Scripture is talking about, that examples we can have, she's rooted in Christ. Her hope and her trust is in God. Not in how she looks, not in her husband, not in the husband she wants to have, or anything like that. She's secure and rooted in Christ. Her eyes fixed on him. And that's an important thing. It's Scripture is talking about that trust and that hope. So that's one thing. You young girls, there's a lot of young girls sitting here this morning. I want you to especially to listen and to open your hearts, because we're going to speak a bit, because the picture that the world or Hollywood or anything in the media is giving you, especially you young ladies, about what you should be, it's most of it is wrong. But listen to Scripture and what it says. So first of all, trust in God. That's the most important thing. You should also know your Bible. Ladies, it's important that all of you, that you know Scripture, that you know your theology. Because your husband will sustain you. He will be the leader of the house. He will provide in many ways. And if he can be a husband that spiritually guides as well, then it's wonderful. That's the way it should be. But first of all, you've got that relationship between you, yourself and God. That's almost the most important thing that you should know, that it's between you and God as well. And where do you learn a lot about God? In Scripture. I mean, in praying, in worship, there's many ways that we learn a lot from God. But through reading Scripture, you understand. So many times I enjoy reading the Old Testament stories, because you learn so much about the character of God. Okay, so you should have that unshakable biblical faith to stand in. Then the second thing we're going to look at is fearlessness. It says, so in verse 5 it said that the holy woman of old hoped in God. And then in verse 6, Sarah, Abraham's wife, has given as an example. And it says there, And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Now the wonderful thing, it's almost like this first root that I talked about is bearing fruits. Because if you trust in God, if you hope in God, then you can know there will always be challenges, there will be fears, there will be difficult circumstances, challenges in your in your relationship with your husband, maybe at work. Kids is definitely a challenge. It's not a bad thing, but kids do challenge you. I was reading one of Dr. James Dobson's books over the weekend, and I really had a great laugh because it's like a little dagboekie. But there's, at the start of every chapter, there's a story that some person, not him or his wife, someone else is telling a story about raising kids. And I'm really enjoying that because I could relate so well to many of those things. Kids, they're hungry now, or they want a bath now, or you know, there's always, maybe you just want 5 quiet minutes for yourself, and then there's always mama, mama, papa, papa, those type of things. And I really had a nice laugh at that. But first of all, we said trust in God, and then when you trust in God, you don't have to fear because your trust is in God. Okay? So for women, that goes for men as well. But we're specifically talking about this piece of scripture this morning, and we're looking to it in a bit of detail. So you don't have to fear. You know, you can know you're rooted in God. Christ is with you. And the challenge is you can really stand up for that. So they hope in God and they triumph over fear. And then there's this third one that I really... Maritza isn't here this morning because third child, Ulrike, little barbecue, she's not well. But I'm trusting that they will, all four of them will be here next Sunday. But this is something that I really appreciate of my own wife, that I really honor her for, and that's one of the first things that I saw in her. And the third thing is a focus on the internal adornment. Now here's also, I believe, things that are quoted out of context or used in the wrong way many times. So let's just read here from verse 3 again. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of clothing. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Now guys, does that mean... Ladies, you're not allowed to put up makeup, you're not allowed to look beautiful. Is that what it means? No. That scripture isn't against that. It just says that your beauty should rather, or not rather, but that you should focus a lot on the inward beauty. I love it when my wife really makes a bit of effort and she paints the picture and put up all the mascara. And those type of things. The boys also put up mascara in the past week. My wife emailed the photos. They got hold of it and they thought it's a very good idea to paint their faces as well. But I rebuked them. I said, guys, outward beauty for men is very important. No, but I'm just teasing a bit there. But it's important that we understand this thing, that we focus our main attention on that effort of looking, of being beautiful from the inside. Now, I remember in February 2002, 20th of January or February, that day when I met Maritza, you know, I could see the beauty of her inside. You know, I could see, and I really, obviously I like what I see from the outside, I do, but the inward part was also so important to me. I really, that was something that was almost like the go-ahead for me, you know. I remember many times, you know, when on a Saturday or this or that day, Maritza used to wear this t-shirt that she made for herself and a few of her friends, and it said, God's Girl on the top. You know, so she didn't wear high heels. Skola, am I offending you? she didn't wear high heels or, you know, all the time. Sometimes she just wear comfortable things with this God's Girl, and she had a Toyota Taz with this big God's Girl. So I knew there was just a bit of fighting I had to do before it can be my girl, not to take it from God, but there's a specific relationship. But it's great when ladies, you know, you dress up, especially most of you. How many of you young ladies, you're dreaming about the day you're going to get married? few of you, most of you, great. Okay, men also do think about it, but in a different way. We think about the budget and the honeymoon and things like that. But I remember my sister and my wife, they told me that's something they always dream of. And I remember that day on the 27th of May 2006 when Maritza walked down the aisle. She was looking beautifully. Now, she wasn't disobeying scripture by looking beautifully. But I also saw the inside, you know, that fact that she trusts in God, you know, that she's in a sense fearless to whatever life might bring, the challenges. And we all do have those things. But I knew where I was standing with her regarding that. Now, unfortunately, you know, the media, Hollywood, the movies, I'm always against that because that's not biblical. There's so many times I've heard from my wife that, you know, girls that I think they are so pretty, you know, but then they're so broken on the inside because they get this thing right. They just focus on how they should look on the outside, but not the inside. Guys, there's a balance, and Scripture is talking to us about that. You do look neat and pretty, do all those things, but please, it says there so beautifully. I just want to read it to you slowly in verse 4. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Okay? So I want to encourage you this morning, guys, ladies. Men, godly men, they also look at that. It's really important. And that's why Scripture is talking to us about unequally yoked. Don't be unequally yoked. Maritza had a friend, she still has her. And she went, she's a godly girl, she discipled Maritza when she came to Christ. And unfortunately, this lady made a wrong decision, I believe. And she went into a relationship with a guy that's got no fear of the Lord in his heart. He doesn't have a relationship with Christ. And she's gave many reasons why she believed and trusted and hoped that he will come to Christ. And maybe he will, I don't know. But you see, when you ask someone, what is beautiful to you in the other person, you know, then there's two answers. I could say my wife's got blonde hair and beautiful blue eyes and many other things. That's beautiful to me. But I also love her spirit. I love the fact that they stood God's girl on her shirt because I knew how she felt about the relationship with Christ. You see, now if you go into in a relationship with someone who's not believing in Christ, you know, then I'm asking you this morning, what is beautiful to you? Is it the inside and the outside, or just maybe one of the two? Maybe you can just think about that in future. So many times I've seen on campus where I studied in South Africa in Stellenbosch, you know, I heard the stories through my wife or so forth, as I said, about ladies giving so much attention to the outside and neglecting the inside. Girls, ladies, please don't do that. Okay. Then, let's go on. Okay, then, in the fourth thing that we're going to look at this morning is the unique kind of submissiveness that comes from this relationship, from a lady who's trusting in God, who doesn't fear because of her trust, and who's got this inward beauty of the way she relates to Christ, you know, and that paints a picture, and that certainly does affect someone's heart. It can affect a man's heart, but also a lady's heart. That's why she's going to present herself in a certain way. And that's part of the beauty that she wants to submit to her husband, because she understands Scripture. She understands this relationship between Christ and the church. And I remember it, and it was really humbling to me. And I'm sharing a bit out of our own relationship and marriage this morning. But I remember there was a certain stage when we were engaged. I don't know where we were. We're driving or somewhere. And Maritza told me, she told me, Carl, I'm ready to submit to you. And I was like, wow. You know, and it's not I don't want to boast or anything this morning. But, you know, I'm following Christ. And I know what I'm believing in. And when she said that, you know, many times I make jokes, but that time I didn't make a joke and say, okay, cool, so you're going to bring me the remote control always and that type of thing. But for me, it was overwhelming because I know God did something in her heart that she wanted me to lead. You know, she wanted me to provide and to protect. And she obviously saw the ability in me that I could do that. Now, that's something, that's a tip for you guys, for you ladies, especially you, you young ladies sitting here. You know, when you're looking at the man you want to worry, marry, you must look and see, can he provide for you? Now, I know you're still young, but keep it in your mind, write it in your hearts. Can he provide for you? Will he be a leader? Will he be able to protect? And then, are you willing to submit? Because remember, it's biblical to submit, but nowhere in Scripture says you must submit out of a place of fear. You know, you do it because you want to do it. And that day when Maritza told me that, I was a bit overwhelmed because I also knew it's a huge responsibility on my shoulders now. And today, many times, you know, when I'm driving or somewhere, when usually my thoughts were just with my own, you know, hobbies or things, now I'm praying for my family because I know I need to protect my wife and my three kids. There's so much more on my shoulders. Now, obviously, God made men in their special way to be able to handle that, you know. And I know in one of his books, John Bevere, a Christian writer that I really respect and honor, he's talking about a scenario where his wife told him that she thinks she could handle the finances of the household and some other things better than him, and that they should swap around. And the moral of the story, to cut it short, was that after a month or two, you know, she had also like a maagseer, you know, because of the stress of the household. But he understood something between him and God, where he can just bring the things before God and trust in it. And she was a bit acting out of place there. It's a bit longer story, but it's very good. Okay. So that's the wonderful thing of a lady that wants to submit. This is a brief look at the portrait of the kind of woman Peter has in mind when he calls a woman to be submissive to her husband. Unshakable hope in God, courage and fearlessness in the face of any future, quiet tranquility of soul, humble submission to her husband's leadership. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's important. That's what we are talking about. And I'm glad that you guys are listening this morning. I'm also preaching to myself. As I said last week, remember, I'm not standing here and say, we've got everything 100% right. But this is what Scripture is saying. Now, the second part I want to go on, we talked a bit now about a few qualities of a lady like that. There's many more examples in Scripture that you can look at. But let's look a bit at what submission is not. I'm really excited about this topic, and I believe next week I want us to look at family, as we said last week, the husbands, now the wives. Then we will look at family, because in church we are also family. We're part of the body of Christ inside our church. This morning you saw someone did the announcement, someone the offering, someone the nachmal or the communion. There's a worship team. We all work together. And I'm standing here. I'm just part of that pizza who's got many slices. Okay? So, but it's something excited. And God doesn't want us to be just an organization, you know, something where a place where you can tithe and there's a pastor or a leader and there's small groups. And it mustn't be just that. It's just that as well. But we must be family. That's why I ask you this morning, pray together. We need to know each other's names, where we live. When you've got a challenge, you SMS someone in your small group. Reinald is sitting there at the back, or he just came in. They're sitting. I remember earlier or last year, one evening he SMS'd me or said, there's something, a challenge they have. And me and Francois and Eric that time, we went and we prayed for them. And that's how it should be. You know, that's nice. When there's a challenge or someone is hurt or broke, we should almost like a leaf fold over that person and love and protect that brother or sister. We should be really family, and that's something I'm passionate about. Okay, so based on this part in Scripture, there's six things I want us to look at why submission is not. Okay, the first one. Submission doesn't mean agreeing with everything your husband says. Okay? Please don't take this out of context. Otherwise, this may hurt. That's what the small print says. But guys, that doesn't mean your wife doesn't have a say in things. Okay? You must understand this now. when we are deciding tonight what are we going to eat, some wives maybe, they just make food. Mine, I've got one of those wives. That's why when this morning I felt, yeah, die broek druk, ek eet lekker. Nah? But the important thing is, many times my wife will ask me, do you want to have this or that tonight for supper? And then I'll tell her, well, what about this? We can talk. Ladies, you can talk to your husbands. It's important. Submitting doesn't mean you should not have a voice in the household, okay? That's important. That's scriptural. You can speak to your husband, talk to him, etc. Okay? I want you to know that. Then secondly, submission does not mean leaving your brain or your will at the wedding altar, okay? So my wife has beat me many times to many things. Sometimes I say, yes, it wasn't that day or this day. Usually, women remember certain detail better than men do, like wedding anniversaries and things like that. Somehow, or birthdays, men just, I don't know how we, me and Francia were talking one day, and I get so much punishment for this thing. Then some will, like Maggie will tell my wife, or tell me, send your regards to my wife, okay? And then I'll say, yes, yes, I will. And then sometime Maggie asks Maritza, oh, did Carl send regards? And she's like, no. And I'm like, uh-oh, you know? So, I don't know, we kind of, I was talking to Francho, and I hope I'm not getting in trouble here, but he said, just send the regards personally to Hanley, and not through me. Because somehow, us men, we tend to forget those type of things. I don't know why. I don't know, do you, other men relate with, is it only me? Gerson, you guys? Ah, Marius. Okay, maybe we'll lay hands on each other afterwards again. But that's something, I don't know how it works, but ladies get it right many times. And as I said, I'm talking here about not leaving your brain at the altar the day that you're getting married. Ladies, you can have hobbies. My wife likes to paint. She likes to move around the dining room and tables. You know, I'm one of those guys, if something works, don't fix it. Maritza has moved our eating table and the chairs in every possible direction. I just leave it. I like her. She can exercise her brain. You know, that's wonderful because she likes, that's her domain. It's house. It's home. That's where she can rule and reign a bit. But, you know, part of submitting doesn't mean, ladies, you're not allowed to do anything like that. When I get here, then there's a candle or this has changed or that has moved. I like it. She can do it, you know, because I'll never do it. Okay. Then going on to the third one, submission does not mean avoiding effort to change a husband. Now, this is an important one. Let's look again at in 1 Peter 3 verse 1. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. So Scripture is speaking here about a believing a wife and maybe not a believing husband because he's not obeying the word. Now that can happen. Maybe both adults don't know Christ and then one of them come into salvation and the other one afterwards. You know, so there's, ladies, you can play a big role to change your husband. Many times my wife will tell me small little things that I don't want to hear, but what I need to hear. Okay? She will tell me things. Now I must be really careful. But she will tell me certain things. They'll come example to my mind just now. Things that I should do. I remember example, that was my mother, but that's a bit different. But sometimes when I was hungry, I used to eat very fast. And then I didn't notice it, but I bumped the fork into my teeth. And my mom got seriously irritated when I do that. Now, see, Maritza, there's small things that I'm doing sometimes. And she will tell me, Carl, please don't do this or that. And then I'm like, you know, but then she'll tell, but I know she's right. Okay? So, ladies, there's an important place where you can influence your husband. Okay, I've got a good example. Have you noticed Maritza the last day? She's like thin, nah? Okay, I don't know, breastfeeding is working for her. But she's like real thin. Now she wants me to go and jog with her. Now for the past 3 years, I didn't jog, so I'm not so fit. So my wife is a better athlete currently than me. That's humbling, okay? But now she's nagging all the time, I must go and jog with her. And I'm thinking of all the excuses that I can get not to do that. Now I'll rather walk with the twins and things like that. Because I don't want to be embarrassed, you see. But now she's correct. I need to start running again. Because after the twins, I just know it just went. I stopped. Okay. But there's a place where you can really sow good seeds and your husband, if he's a godly man, he will see that you are right and that he can learn and grow from that. Okay, submission, number four, does not mean putting the will of the husband before the will of Christ. The godly woman, she's following Christ, okay? She's respecting the way her husband is leading and things like that, but she's always putting Christ before her husband as well. You agree? That's important. Then number five, submission does not mean that the wife gets her personal spiritual strength primarily through her husband. Okay? A good husband should indeed strengthen and build up and sustain. You know, as I said, part of that providing and protecting, us as fathers, as husbands, we should really disciple our families. We should teach them the word of God, the fear of the Lord, many things like that. And if your husband can be a teacher and a pastor in a sense like that, ladies, you can benefit a lot from that. Because I believe you'll marry a husband that's spiritually more mature than yourself. Not because this or that, but I believe it's a good thing. Okay? But that's not the only source that you ladies, that you get your input from. There's scripture, as I said, there's ministries in church, and ultimately, and of course, there's Jesus Christ. You know, we, all of you, must have that relationship with Christ that will sustain you every day, that will charge your battery, that will fill your heart. And I mean, ladies, you can evangelize as well, you can preach as well. I've got nothing against women in the pulpit. That's a blessing, because many times they are better teachers than us men, or they, you know, that there's I believe that's an important thing as well. Okay, submission does not mean she is dependent on him to supply her strength of faith and virtue and character. You can get that from God, definitely. Okay, so that also means, very important for you younger or ladies who aren't married, while you are not married, you know, and you don't have a husband to maybe to partner with or something, your source is God. You should strengthen and fill yourself with God in your relationship with him. That should be your source. Okay? And I know many times you're longing for that husband and because God created you that way, but until that isn't there, God stays first. And after you're married, he still stays first, but there's a specific place where you can lock into that relationship. Okay, and then lastly and finally, the sixth one, submission does not mean that a wife is to act out of fear. Now, as I said, many times in a marriage where this thing is totally distorted or not working right, you know, it will almost be a husband telling his wife, you submit, you do this, you know. But that's not how it's supposed to be. When he is such a leader and a true man, you know, then the woman would like to submit under him, okay? So there's not the place where you should do it out of fear. That's not what Scripture is talking about. You do it from a place of love, excitement, and commitment. It's a free place. When she submits to her husband, whether he's a believer or an unbeliever, remember, she does it in freedom, not out of fear. And that's something, as I said that day when Maritza came to me, I knew now there's a big responsibility on my shoulder. It's not now a privilege to order my wife around. It's a huge responsibility, because I should also love her as Christ is loving the church. Okay, are you enjoying this? It's important. And as I said, remember, we get so many signals from media or DSTV or movies where we totally see this thing is totally lacking, or it's in a disrespectful way working. But I want to encourage you this morning, go back to Ephesians, go back to 1 Peter and read this, get a Bible commentary or something and grow in that, and ask God also to help you with it where you're battling, because many times you'll come from a marriage or a background, maybe there wasn't a mother, maybe there wasn't a father, my mother died when I was still relatively young, or maybe that leadership submission thing between your father and your mother was totally lacking or didn't work, and now you have a very bad, maybe there was abuse in the family, and now you've got a very bad picture about what it is. But go back to Scripture and go and renew your mind, okay? And let this be the model and the thing that you strive forwards. So what is submission then? We talked about what's it not. So let's look just to end off with what submission is then. Let's use the definition, and I'm quoting here from John Piper. He's an awesome theologian as well. I'm quoting from him. It's his definition, but I like it a lot. Submission is the divine calling of a wife to honor and affirm a husband's leadership and help carry it through according to her gifts. Isn't that beautiful? Now, that makes me just excited to go back home because I'm partnering with my wife. It's not I'm the boss, she's the one that submits. I want to read it to you again. Submission is the divine calling of a wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and help carry it through according to her gifts. Okay, that's really special. That's really beautiful. And now, maybe you can ask this morning, but how do we deal with conflict? Or how do we deal if this thing is not working right? I'm going to read the example or two to you. If my wife were to stand here and she was speaking to me regarding submission, you know, and she was about to tell me what she likes, then it would read as follows. I delight for you to take the initiative in our family. I am glad when you take responsibility for things and lead with love. Okay? You see, that's what the lady should tell the husband. That's what I like. I like when you take leadership. I like it when you provide. I like it when you protect. You know, that makes my heart grow bold and or excited, you know. And me and Maritza, we talked about this in the weekend, and you know, it just blessed our marriage again. Just to as I said when I started, many times we know about this and we understand this, but maybe I can challenge you, especially the married people, to go back today and somewhere when you've got time and all the kids is in bed maybe tonight, just talk a bit about this. Maybe you are married now for a year or five or 20 or 30, and some things have crept in and you've kind of forgot about this, and you're just going on. Just go and speak about it maybe, and maybe I believe it will bless you again. I don't flourish in the relationship when you are passive and I have to make sure the family works. Now, unfortunately, in many families, it works that way. The lady does have to almost go and stand in the husband's role as well because he's passive or lazy or useless, I almost want to say. I'm talking now about not a godly man. Okay. I don't like guys like that. We love them from a place of, you know, hearts, but men should stand up. It shouldn't be the ladies' role to, you know, okay, Liffy, go, please go and look, the dog's barking. It's not supposed to work like that. Men, we should stand up for those type of things. And then, of course, something very important, submission. You never submit unto sin, you know, through your husband. You know, if for whatever reason he's telling you, I've got this amazing deal, we can quickly make a few bucks, and then I can buy you this jewelry or a new house or this or that, you don't do that. You don't submit to that place. Because then you're disobeying scripture. You're not unethical or sinning or anything like that. If your husband wants to lead you in something like that, I think it's a good thing to maybe go and see your pastor or elders of the church or someone and just talk about this thing a little bit more. Okay, so and also if I can use this example and read to you, what should you do? Maybe if there's something, maybe not even sin, but even just something challenging. For instance, your husband, you want to sell the house to buy new golf clubs or something. This may be not a good example, but something, he wants to do something and you completely don't have peace about that. I want to read that to you as well. What will the lady, if my wife were to stand here and I was about to do something like that, what would she say? She would say something like, "It grieves me when you venture into sinful acts and want to take me with you. You know I can't do that. I have no desire to resist you." You see, she's still honoring him in that sense. "On the contrary, I flourish most when I can respond joyfully to your lead. But I can't follow you into sin. As much as I love to honor your leadership in our marriage, Christ is my king." So you can never follow your husband but disobey scripture or something like that. Do you understand? That's important to understand. And I'm sure with all the godly men sitting here, it won't be an issue in our church. I'm trusting for that. Okay. There will be many times also in a Christian marriage that maybe you want to do something, say about a holiday, or maybe us men, we get a bright spark and we think on a Sunday afternoon, maybe go and have a picnic here or there. But then my wife will tell me, but what, you remember it's 37 degrees outside, we've got a small baby, that's not going to work, you see. And then I forgot about that. Maybe I just thought about me and her. So there's also a place we can go to your husband and you can tell him, listen, my love, I don't have peace about this thing you want to do. Say it's a big decision you want to make about a new job or buying a home or something. And you can just, the ladies, you can just go to your husband and say, but I really don't have peace about it, you know. Can we maybe talk about it a bit more? Can we pray together about it? Maybe we should just pause for a moment. So she's not telling him, oh, you stupid idiot, you're going to make a mistake again. That's not the attitude, guys. But go to your husband and tell him, but listen, maybe can we pray about this a little more and trust God to guide us? I'm a bit worried that we might make a mistake. And you know, if you come with that attitude, I'm sure the husband will listen. And you know, that goes for many things in life. When you just almost curse someone and telling him you're making a mistake, then that person is going to resist you. But if you, with a kind of a father's heart, go to someone and tell that person, listen, I see you battling a bit with it. Can I help you to fix it a little bit? You know, I do it many times with my boys. You know, they're still small, but they take the pencil like this and now they want to draw. And I just try to help them. No, I'd rather take it like this. Okay? Otherwise, they just use it as a weapon to fight each other. Okay? But that's the important. It's the place from your heart where you are trying to do that. And then also, as I'm ending off, worship team, you guys can slowly, you can start to come to the front. But remember, also, us as men, we are as leaders of the house, but we are fallen humans, you know. We do have sin, we do make mistakes. So, especially in knowing that, that's why it's so important that the husband and the wife, that they partner. You know, we need to cover our blind spots. From each other, you know. If there's something, as I said, decision you want to make or something, and your wife feels that, okay, just focus for one moment, guys, we're almost finished. That it's really important that you yoke together. As I said, Christ is the head of the church, but Christ is Christ. We aren't Christ. We do make mistakes sometimes. And guys, we have to admit it, and we have to be open for the correction of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, God will use our wives to tell us, listen, you need to jog more, or don't use that word, it's a foul word, or maybe don't drink a third of a fourth beer, or whatever it might be. I'm just using examples this morning. But I want to encourage you men, especially us men, to be open to be corrected, because we are fallen, definitely, and we do make mistakes. And then I want to end off with, and it might sound a little bit harsh, but I just want to bring it to all of us attention again. And that is, I want to end off with that marriage isn't just about staying in love. It's about covenant keeping, and the main reason it is about covenant keeping is about God's design. Between the husband and the wife is similar, it represents the relationship between Christ and the church. Again, I'm not saying don't be in love, don't love each other or anything, but that's not the most important thing. Remember, it's a covenant, that's why we wear a ring, okay? That's the symbol of the covenant that me and my wife made that day before God. We're in that covenant relationship just as between Christ and his church, okay? Will you all stand with me this morning, please? Can I ask you again to, just for a moment, to focus and just to close your eyes quickly, just that you can listen now to your own heart and to your own spirit. I believe every time, and I trust God for that, and I pray for that, that as I'm standing and preaching here, that God will speak to you. Many of you will walk out here and you'll hear different things from the sermon, different things that you take home, different things. Maybe I was speaking about submitting in the marriage, but maybe the Holy Spirit spoke to you this morning about submitting to your boss at work, honoring him, maybe the way we think about our government, or many different things, maybe about a speed limit that is stupid, but it's not stupid, you should submit to it. God is speaking to all of you about different things in your own heart. You will know what God is speaking to you this morning. And I want to make an altar call this morning, and I want to invite you this morning to come to the front. If you feel in your life, it doesn't have to be in the marriage, but if you battle with submission, maybe at school you've got difficulty always listening to the teacher, or you want to think they are getting it wrong or anything, but God called us to submit to those structures and authorities. So if you feel this morning that you battle to submit, no matter where in life it is, as all eyes are closed this morning, can I see if there's any people, you can just raise your hand, as all eyes are closed this morning, if you feel like that today. Thank you. Those guys that raised your hands now, can I ask you, can I invite you to come to the front? I would like to pray with you as we are going to worship now. Can I quickly come to the front? I would like to pray with you this morning. Those of you who felt in your heart that you battle with that, you can come to the front. Thank you, guys. You can just stand here.